south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
You know, ever since I did a particular show about 6 months ago regarding stem cells here in Latin America, I've been getting lots of emails and inquiries on the subject. Now, of course, we all know there are treatments available in Latin America and other parts of the world that are not available in the U.S., like, for example, mesenchymal, placenta, and umbilical cord stem cell treatments. Whereas, you know, up in the States and Canada and almost all first world countries, they're considered experimental. Of course, up in the States, you can get stem cell treatment, but it's bone marrow, where they pull the stem cells from your own bone marrow, which I understand is one of the most painful procedures you can undergo, because they have to core out or trephinate one of your bones. And how do they do that? Well, with a drill. You know, just thinking about that gives me the willies. Now, those are stem cells, but they're not nearly as prolific, active, energetic, or as potent as stem cells they pull from the umbilical cord, placenta, or what they call mesenchymal cells. So then why don't they do that stuff up in the States? Well, they do, but it's still considered experimental. Sooner or later, it will become commonplace, but as for now, you can't get them up in the States unless you're involved in one of those clinical trials, and then half the time, you'll get a placebo. Of course, you won't know it because that's how they do the studies. That's what you call double blind, meaning the receiver of the treatment is blind to the fact whether he or she is going to get the real one or the placebo. Same thing with the administrator and evaluator of the test. He or she doesn't know who got the real or the placebo either. However, the great thing is there are some places in Latin America, some clinics, you can get the mesenchymal stem cell treatments exactly as they would do it up in the States if you were in one of those clinical trials and actually getting the real thing. And in some of those stem cell clinics here in Latin America, board-certified American doctors are there to give you the treatment. Think about it. Isn't that crazy that the same doctors that can't do the treatments up in the States for regular patients come down to Latin American clinics and do it on people because they know just how well it works? So, as mentioned, there are lots of little clinics here in Latin America that do it. And one particular one in Panama is staffed by those American doctors. And that's also the most expensive one because, hell, American prices, right? Believe it or not, the Panama clinic is 3 times as expensive as some of the other ones. So if it's done by Latino doctors, it's going to be a hell of a lot cheaper, even though the equipment they use is all first world, state of the art. Understand, I have nothing to gain, financially or otherwise, by telling you this stuff, only to say that I know of cases personally of people who've gone to these centers and have had the treatments. In fact, I'm going there myself. I think it's going to be next month. I'm bringing my mother and my 2 brothers. My mother, because she's 89 and she fell down and broke her arm in 3 places, and it's just not healing right after about a half a year. My brother, because he's in his early 50s and has a terrible case of rheumatoid arthritis. And he had many sports injuries, cartilage tears, ligament repairs from back in the day, and now they're coming back to haunt him. Then there's my other brother, who's in his 40s, who in his prime was a powerlifting champion in Illinois. And by the time he hit 30, he got into the American terrible diet rut, put on 100 pounds. His doctor said, you got to lose it because your heart is being way too stressed. And him, with the German discipline, lost 100 pounds in 6 months. In doing so, in reverse, he put so much extra strain on his heart, he ended up with heart stents. The cardiac surgeon said his heart was enlarged and its ejection fraction was so low that fairly soon he'll be on a heart transplant list. So there, in my own family, we've got some of the 3 best cases for stem cell therapy. That would be bone and cartilage repair, arthritis, and heart damage. Of course, stem cells are good for lots of other things, too. For one thing, many, many thousands of people are doing it for anti-aging. Seems like there's a constant flow of Hollywood old-timers going down to Mexico and other places south of the border to get bumped up with stem cells once a year or so. Doctors are saying it could add a good 10 years to your productive life. That includes better brain power, agility, strength, and physical endurance. Now, I've talked to a few doctors and technicians at these clinics, and people are mostly coming down from the States for hip, joint, and heart issues. And there's a steady flow of professional athletes making their way south of the border, too, with countless cases of people coming down from the States whose doctors have told them in no uncertain terms they absolutely need a hip, knee, or some other joint replacement. But, as it turns out, in the vast majority of these cases after stem cell therapy, the person's joint regenerates and does not need a replacement. Talk about great news, huh? Because, you know, as it turns out, the U.S. is the land of hip and joint replacements. You've heard me say it many times on this show. You just never run into people here in Latin America that have had a hip or joint replacement unless they're gringos or upscale Latins, extreme gringo wannabes, who have completely copied our bad gringo diets and sedentary lifestyles. But that's another subject. So then you might ask, what other medical problems are stem cells good for? Diabetes, Alzheimer's, all kinds of joint problems, anemia, asthma, autism, celiac disease, cerebrovascular disease, cirrhosis, colitis, Crohn's disease, and fibromyalgia, amongst others. In fact, there's almost no chronic disease it doesn't have a positive effect on, including HIV and hypertension. Of course, I'm no medical doctor, but you might recall me mentioning I have a double degree, electrical engineering and biomedical engineering. What's that? Well, all you have to do is walk into any treatment room in the hospital or emergency room. Look at all the diagnostic equipment. That's what it's all about these days, right? Computerized diagnostic equipment. Well, who do you think designs that? Biomedical engineers. Yep, and I be one of those. Well, I used to be anyway. In fact, the first job I was offered out of engineering school was to work at GE Medical as a project engineer in the tomography and CAT scan division. Turned it down, though, because its headquarters was in Milwaukee. Hey there. Well, almost hey there. Anyway, I'm only throwing those credentials out there, so you know I'm not just a talking head parroting things I've read on the internet. Though some people might disagree with that assessment. Now, one of the reasons I'm bringing this subject up again, besides the fact that I think it's absolutely imperative if you've got one of those chronic diseases to check out the stem cell option. Because all it is an IV that takes an hour or so and a couple of injections. And you're done. And maybe, depending on how you feel, you come back a year or two or three later. Come on, isn't that infinitely preferable to having major surgery, ripping out your knee or hip socket, and gluing in an artificial titanium substitute? Fact is, I think people are nuts to undergo operations like that without at least looking into stem cells. Though, of course, some people might say it's way too expensive and insurance doesn't cover it. But really, who gives a rip if insurance doesn't cover it, if it comes down to going under the knife and getting some artificial parts put in versus a few injections and an IV drip? Now, about the cost, in some cases, it really is expensive. You've got the high-end case, a clinic in Panama. That one's actually run by American doctors who also work at a clinic in Texas. And to get their most expensive treatment, it's $22,000. However, there are other clinics in Latin America that have the same equipment and the same highly trained technicians and very knowledgeable doctors providing the very same treatment for from $5,000 to $8,000. So the big deterrent here is not the treatment, it's the dough. And the fact that most Americans are reluctant to fly down to a foreign country where they don't speak the language and they hear all kinds of stories about banana republics and they're thinking, yeah, it's probably like that in the clinics and hospitals too. So you could say the real deterrent is not so much money, but the lack of knowledge. And because of that, I'd say 98% of all Americans have no idea what stem cells are, have no idea what kind of treatments exist outside the U.S., and if they have any knowledge about it at all. They probably got it from a news report or an article they read somewhere that either poo-pooed it because the article or news report was sponsored by Big Pharma or the big pharmaceutical prosthetic companies. Even so, they could have read a very positive article about stem cells. Then they went back and talked to their doctor, and their doctor poo-pooed it. Now, why would he do that? Because the prosthetic replacement business in the U.S. is huge, as is heart bypass surgery and stents. Let's face it, who stands to win big and lose big with stem cell treatments? The winner is the public. The losers, Big Pharma, doctors, hospitals and their surgical units, and the billion-dollar prosthetic industry. Let's face it, if you have a heart operation or stents, the operation's at least $25,000, not to mention you're on multiple medications for life. And if stem cells do the trick, no operation, no prescription meds. And when you're talking about a hip or knee replacement, that's $25,000 minimum just for the operation. And you're going to be on meds the rest of your life too, because it's a foreign body and there's always a potential for infection and thrombosis and blood clots. Consider this. Look at all the people and industries that make a buck if you have a knee replacement. You have the consultations before surgery, all the lab tests and radiology, the surgery, nursing care after surgery, doctor visits after discharge, physical therapy, home health care visits. Then you've got braces, crutches, medicines, and pharmaceuticals. However, if you have stem cells and it works, and most of the time there is at least a big improvement, you don't have any of those costs. Oh, and don't forget, a knee or hip surgery is not forever. They claim 10 to 15 years, and you got to go through the whole thing all over again. And the second or third time around, your bones and the affected area of attachment are much more fragile, and thus there's more risk and chance of failure. I repeat, as long as you have an artificial prosthesis in your body, there is a risk of infection because it is a foreign substance, and your body does not like foreign substances. But yet, in the U.S. alone, surgeons perform more than 600,000 knee replacements and 330,000 hip replacements last year in 2018. In other words, a million major joint replacement surgeries a year. And what's a million joint replacement surgeries times 25,000 bucks a pop? Pun intended. $25 billion. So let me ask you this. How many doctors, hospitals, and pharmaceutical companies want to see big numbers like that fade away? Oh, and we haven't even mentioned the billions and billions of dollars spent on arthritis treatments and heart conditions up in the States. So bottom line, do you think that the medical establishment up in the States has any reason to drag their feet on approving umbilical, placental, and other types of mesenchymal stem cells? I wonder. Well, not really. Anyway, since that show I did about 6 months ago talking about all that and giving out some really good vetted information on where to get the least expensive treatments from the highest quality clinics and practitioners, well, as you might expect, some listeners took that advice, and now the reports are coming back. Some listeners made the trip south of the border and did the stem cell thing. And right now, I'd like to read you some of the emails that are coming in. All right, first, this one comes from a very cool and smart Canadian lady who came to one of my expat insider seminars about a year and a half ago. She says, "Hi, Johnny. Just had hip stem cells and an IV at Dream Body in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico." All right, me, Johnny here. By the way, that's one I highly recommend when I'm going to myself with my family members, at least one of which, the one with the severe arthritis, is coming along reluctantly because his doctor told him it probably won't work. That is, his arthritis doctor up in Chicago, who's got him on something like 7 very expensive medications, some of which keep him in a daze half the day, or so my other brothers and sisters and mother say. By the way, he's only coming down because we convinced him it would be a nice vacation with the family in a nice warm tropical place by the beach, and that he won't have to pay out of his pocket for the treatment. We talked it over and the family's going to kick in. Now, he could afford it, but that was still the big stumbling block. And really, the only way to get him over that hump was to make him an offer he couldn't refuse. So, you see, he's the perfect example of a guy who would probably be a great success story with stem cells, but he's got his own doctors that he's permanently tied in with back in Chicago who are poo-pooing the idea or giving him negative vibes on it. He's a guy who completely trusts his doctors and would never think to investigate these things himself, just like probably 80% or more of the American population. You know, the average guy's got an idea in his head that the word of your doctor is like talking to God. And if insurance doesn't want to pay for a procedure, they're definitely not going to want to dig into their pocket for it. But back to Mel's email. She says, "Johnny, I just had hip stem cells and IVs at Dream Body. Thanks so much for letting me know about them. As I'm writing this, it's been about 4 hours since I had the treatment, and the pain in my hip is down to one half of its previous severity. Really loved the whole experience. I didn't feel a thing. No pain with the needles either. They're so professional and detail-oriented here, it's hard to believe. However, my doctor in La Ronge, Canada, told me I needed an immediate full hip replacement. My new doctor at Dream Body, however, looked at my MRI and said, there's no way I need a hip replacement at all. Johnny, I'm coming back next year and bringing my husband with me. He's got a bad shoulder, and next time we'll be doing the stem cells with him." Then she says, "By the way, I like Puerto Vallarta, but it's way too hot for me. Love the beach, though. Hope all is well with you. Also, hope to see you next year. Again, thanks so much for your own research on the stem cell things and the stem cell folks. You most likely saved my hip and my health." All right, meet Johnny. Now, that email came 4 hours after she had the treatment, which was a simple IV drip and some stem cell injections into the site that was damaged. That would be her hip. Then, a couple of days passed, and she sent this email. She says, "Hello, Johnny. I promise to keep you posted. Today is the third day after my stem cell treatment, and every day I'm able to walk with less and less discomfort. It's amazing how quickly this stuff works. Finally, I had a full night's sleep. It's the first full night's sleep in 2 years. Then she says, "The placenta stem cell injection site is a bit uncomfortable to touch, but no real discomfort." She said, "I'm going home today. By the way, Johnny, I mentioned this before, but it's way too hot for me here, with thunder and lightning all night again. Quite beautiful, though. Anyway, I'm thrilled with my results so far. Stem cells really do work, and fast, too. She says the people are fantastic here. Even my driver is a delight. Take care, Johnny, and thanks a million again. This is a lifesaver for me. Don't worry, I'll keep you posted. And keep me posted she did. Then she sent me this email about a week and a half later. She said, "Hi, Johnny. Told you I'd keep you posted. It's been 14 days since my stem cell treatments, and I'm happy to report that I'm already 80% pain-free. I've been dealing with hip issues for over 20 years, and this past few days have been nothing short of remarkable. Already, I'm walking without a limp and can walk up the stairs unaided. I still feel a little discomfort, but after being told that it will take 3 to 6 months to see a real difference, I'm totally gobsmacked at the change in my level of pain. I really can't believe it. I'm able to sleep through the night now as well, which was something I haven't been able to do for years due to pain every time I moved. So I'm so glad I decided to go to Dream Body in Puerto Vallarta, which is really called Nuevo Vallarta, to get these treatments. I really have to say the people here are fantastic. They went out of their way to make sure I got everything I needed. It was a pleasure. I really wanted for nothing. I did have an injection to my top half of my hip and thigh, and also an IV for extra help, just to let you know. But the fact is, at 68 years old, I'm feeling like I used to in my 30s. Every day I feel I'm actually healing. Remember when you'd hurt yourself as a kid and every day you'd feel a little better and a little better? That's what's happening to me in my hip. Not only that, the surprise is that some other stuff in my body is healing too. I had a pretty bad crunching sound when I moved my head from side to side before. That too has also diminished around 50%. Also, the dark spots on my hands, a hereditary thing I think on my mom's side, are fading by the week. I never expected that. I can't wait to see what else happens and what else starts to heal. By the way, before I left Canada for my treatments, I made a list of all the things in my body that were bugging me. I gave them a rating from 1 to 10. I did this as a baseline to judge my own treatments and the effects of the treatments. I intend to assess my progress over the next 3 months based on my initial rating so that it seems less subjective. As for my hip, so far the pain has gone down 80%, and it's only 2 weeks. Johnny, please tell your family and everyone on your show that stem cells are nothing short of miraculous as far as I can see. Having been assessed by my doctor and physiologist in Canada as needing an immediate full hip replacement as soon as possible back in January 2019, I'm pleased to report that I won't be needing that operation now. All thanks to you, doing that podcast on stem cells, I have been given a whole new opportunity in my senior years. And I can't wait to visit Guatemala next year again and participate in your seminar as a repeat offender for the second time. I hadn't been down sooner because I was worried that I would be unable to walk with my hip issues, but now I know I'll be just fine. Many thanks again, Johnny. We're so very lucky to get all that information you gave us. Johnny, you're, well, she uses the A word. Yep, it's that A word again. All right, and a big thanks for that, Mel. And I know you'll be keeping us posted with the good, bad, and the ugly as things move along. Anyway, there you have it. A nice follow-up and hopefully a very happy ending to a very painful and debilitating condition. Oh, and by the way, once in a while I watch Joe Rogan's podcast. Have you seen that? I don't care about the sports guys he interviews, but he has a lot of scientific types on there too. Pretty interesting. And I just heard him mention maybe a week and a half ago that he went down to the stem cell clinic for some cartilage and ligament damage, I think it was his knee. He did that after being told by his U.S. doctors that soon enough he'll be needing a knee replacement. Oh no, he thought. He'd heard about that stem cell stuff. He even had a 3-hour podcast on it. And now, some months later, he says it's absolutely returned to normal. He's got no pain at all. No prosthetic replacement necessary. Speaking of that 3-hour long stem cell podcast, well, you know who he had on. One of the guests was Mel Gibson. He and his 90-something dad have done the stem cell thing, along with Mel, not the same Mel who wrote the email, by the way. He had another guy on, the pioneering U.S. doctor from Texas who developed the technique. The guy's got more than 50 published scientific papers in first-rate scientific journals. And he's got a big stem cell clinic in Texas. Of course, like he said, in the States, it's still experimental, which is why he has a branch of his clinic in Panama, or he does the very high-powered good stuff. By the way, if you want a really nice packet of information, the one I gave Mel about 6 months ago, send me an email, theexpetfiles@gmail.com, and I'll send it right off to you. And remember, I get absolutely no remuneration for giving out this information to you. The fact is, I just hate the idea of people having to undergo surgery when it's not necessary. Because, you know, I'm a chicken at heart and deathly afraid of surgery myself. So you could say I'm being a little selfish. It's in my own best interest to investigate this stem cell stuff. And I say, so what? To me, it's kind of or even better than a health insurance policy. Speaking of insurance, alas, insurance companies won't pay for stem cell treatments. Not unless they're considered routine procedures up in the States. So that means treatment with bone marrow stem cells is okay. Insurance will pay for that. But as mentioned earlier, bone marrow stem cells are in no way as efficient as the ones they're using in the clinics outside of the States. But maybe, just maybe, that could be the saving grace for getting it approved up in the States, because obviously, the only ones that stand to gain besides the patients if stem cell treatment using umbilical and placental cells get approved up in the States would be insurance companies. When you think about it, it's a no-brainer. Instead of shelling out for heart stents, transplants, and bypass surgeries, hip, knee, and joint replacements too, if insurance companies started covering stem cell treatments, imagine the billions of dollars insurance companies could save if the treatments were approved. But the question is, will they pass the savings on to consumers? What do you think? I'm thinking, don't hold your breath. All right, enough said about that. But let's stay on the healthcare topic for a while. You know, every time I have an Expat Insider seminar, I always have someone or a couple people from Canada. And my upcoming seminar will be seminar number 17. And in all that time, something like 8 years, I've never had one Canadian attendee that said they liked their healthcare system. In fact, they all had nothing but complaints about Canadian national healthcare. And for some, even most, it was part of the reasons why they wanted to get the hell out and move to Latin America. And that's why I don't understand when I see people in the media saying that they love the Canadian healthcare system so much. Though I have noticed one thing, it's almost always people under 40 who are saying good things about the system, because when you're under 40, you're still pretty much invincible, aren't you? So really, I don't get it. How come every single Canadian I've met face to face, and not just the ones that have come to my seminar, they tell me absolute horror stories about the Canadian national health system? In fact, a friend of this show, a longtime listener, who's an administrator in the Canadian national healthcare system, and he tells me, no doubt it's a disaster, but it's his job and he's got a family to support. Yep, he said disaster. And why wouldn't it be when it was based almost exclusively on the national healthcare disaster in England? After all, Canada used to be an English colony, and even their coins and their money have the Queen's much younger, better looking, but still pompous mug on them. Now, here's something most people don't know. I'm not a stranger to the British national healthcare system because I lived in England for a couple of years. Went for my totally useless MBA over there. It was a long time ago, but I still have some pretty good friends in the UK, and one of them just sent me this. A little article about the British National Healthcare Service, the NHS, that only seems to have appeared in certain British newspapers and rags. So I'll read part of it to you. The headline is, Our Socialized Healthcare, Record-Long Hospital Waiting Times. It starts out by saying the NHS, the British National Healthcare Service leaders, those in charge of the UK's socialized healthcare, have said that hospital waiting times have now reached unprecedented record length. In fact, it says waiting times in all departments in England last month were at their worst level since they began record-taking after World War II. And this despite flu and bad weather being significantly lower in 2018 than years past. One top NHS figure says this should be a wake-up call to everyone who wants to copy our system, including the United States. He goes on to say no amount of additional government funds will fix it. He says that's been tried many times in the past, but only increased the bureaucracy and waiting time. Though the official line and PR department states that it's underfunding that causes all the problems in our healthcare system. But that's just not true. For example, in the last 18 years, spending on healthcare in the UK has more than doubled, even after adjusting for inflation. And the trend, according to news source The Independent, will only get worse. Then it says anyone who knows the UK's national healthcare horror stories should dissuade Americans from accepting any kind of single-payer system. Then it says, according to Forbes magazine, the National Healthcare Service, which just celebrated its 70th anniversary on July 5th, is imploding rapidly and completely bankrupt. And here are the facts. Right now, it says, 9% of all physician posts are completely vacant, leaving a deadly shortfall of 11,500 doctors. Doctors don't want to work for the national healthcare system. Neither do nurses. Right now, it says, in the UK, they're short 42,000 nurses. Meanwhile, in the United States, nearly all states report there will be a surplus of nurses by 2030. Then it says national healthcare nurses are quitting in droves, taking supermarket positions, because they say stacking shelves comes with better hours, benefits, and pay. That, according to a recent report in the Journal of London Economics. And, as one might imagine, the shortage of medical providers is what's causing long waiting times. In May of 2018, it says, 4.3 million people were on waiting lists for surgery, a 10-year high. Then it says, in a recent analysis that covered just half of Britain's hospitals, 30,000 patients died in 2018 while waiting for treatment that hadn't been performed yet. Not only that, it says in June of 2018, the NHS in England said it would discontinue coverage of 17 operative procedures, including tonsillectomies and arthroscopic procedures for knees and joints. In other words, if you need those procedures, you'll either have to pay 100% out of your own pocket or buy your own additional private health care insurance or don't get it done. Then it says patients in British hospitals are four times more likely to die than in U.S. hospitals, according to an analysis of outcomes from 2,000 surgeries conducted by researchers from the University College London. Then it says, according to the same study, if you're a severely ill patient, it's much worse. With very sick Brits, seven times more likely to die in a National Healthcare UK hospital than very sick patients with similar conditions in private U.S. hospitals. All right, there you have it. And my take? You know, I really think it's a great idea to cut the middleman out of healthcare. That would be the insurance companies. Because according to stats, they skim off up to 30% of the dough you pay for your plan. And I also really like the idea of cutting out Big Pharma, who've got all of Congress in their pockets. And you know, Big Pharma's into price fixing and hate generics. So then as far as national healthcare or socialized medicine, you cut out the insurance companies and Big Pharma, man, you could cut healthcare bills in half or more. But the real problem is government. National healthcare is national, meaning the government's running it. Now, I ask you, if you can think of any single department, division, or bureau in government that isn't a complete f***ing disaster, you let me know and I'll do a John McAfee. Maybe I won't go that far. Look at the VA, a complete disaster. The Department of Education, a wreck. The FDA, the CIA, the FBI, the military. They all need to be flushed down the toilet with the rest of the turds. Meanwhile, you got burnt-out Bernie and the rest of the dopes calling for national health care. Yep, it'll come, but they won't use it. Personally, I think it's a great idea, as long as government doesn't run it. But they will. So, how's that Plan B coming? South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.